Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. For the most unlikeliest sermon title, Pie in the Face. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance to do. May it add blessings to these passages, and may we come before Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We ask that these words, these ramblings, these comings together be what they are. Your thoughts, Your direction, simply through an amplifier. Father, let us dwell on today and focus on the message that it may work through us and strengthen us and give us direction and help us along the way that we may become those beacons of light to others and lift them up. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of His children said, Amen. Amen. Now, I need a prop. Honey, where's your readers at?
My what?
Your readers.
There's a bear in there.
There you are?
A pink, bud.
In a pink case.
In a pink case. Oh, no. I must have taken. I have some.
I need a pair of readers.
She's gone. I've got another pair.
Yeah, bling on
them. Oh, good golly. Just once. Why can't something work out for me just once? I shall now transform into a literary genius, a giant of verse and pose. Prose. Not pose. Dumb things, they're about ready to make me fall off the edge here. Maybe I can just hold them like this. Now I shall read to you a verse of such eloquence of poetry that has founded many, many thoughts over the ages. Something so great and so pure and so strong. I'll just put them down here. This verse that I'm going to read to you is touching, strong, and thought-provoking. Quite frankly, it's a genius of three sonnets of prose. Mary had a little lamb. You are such an uneducated, uncultured bunch. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. He followed her to school one day. That was against the rule. It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school. And so the teacher turned him out. But still he lingered near and waited patiently about till Mary did appear. And then he ran to her and laid his head upon her arm as if to say, I'm not afraid, you'll keep me from harm. What makes the Lamb love Mary so? The eager children cry. Oh, Mary loves the Lamb, you know, the teacher did reply. And you each gentle animal in confidence may bind. And if, and make them follow at your call, if you are always kind. And you thought I was joking. How dare you? I don't joke about things. That is a genius of poetry. How many people knew the last two sets to it? You don't be putting your hands up, because I've got a sermon ready to go about lying. I knew them after I read it. This verse, written by Josepha was a great inspiration. She influenced the following presidents: Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan, and Abraham Lincoln. Josepha. She was an amazing woman. She would become convinced that no matter what, she would persevere. No matter what it took to her own personal sacrifice, she would persevere. She wrote in eloquence of the need for women to take on a domestic role. Oh, that's against the rules, isn't it? She died at 90 years old in 1879, and she influenced 5 presidents. And she influences each and every one of us in this room, right here, right now, this very minute. Her name is Josepha. She championed the cause of education. She thwarted slavery. She was homeschooled. She got married. She was beautiful. Oh, she was so beautiful. In the paintings I've seen of her, now listen, she got married. She met lawyer David. And the couple married at her father's tavern, the Rising Sun, on October 23rd, 1813, and had 5 children. Ready? David, Horatio, Francis, Sarah, and William. Her husband died in 1822. And she wore black. Josepha wore black for the rest of her life as a sign of perpetual mourning. She was influential when she wrote the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Oh, she was also famous for the completion of the Bunker Hill Monument to honor George Washington. She championed Mount Vernon being kept as a place of natural love and natural draw to. And for 17 years, she wrote letters. I think I've heard the number somewhere between 40 and 100 letters to those 5 presidents asking for them to do something. She had been in the South teaching, and she had seen that they didn't have this in the South. And states did their own thing, and she thought it was so important that she championed a set cause. Her name is Sarah Josepha Hale. Why am I a genius? Nobody knows the name Sarah Josepha Hale. Shame on you. I didn't know it either. For 17 years, she wrote 40 to 50 letters at great disdain, at people picking on her. And she continued to do it, all to champion a cause that she felt was worthy and indicative of this great nation. Do you know what that cause was? You will celebrate it next Thursday. She is the single sole primary reason that we celebrate Thanksgiving on the 4th Thursday in November. Because she wanted them to listen to her. Because she said, I will not quit. I will do whatever it takes to get recognition to this cause. which is almost a pie in the face. See, she believed that the states would do it, some of them as late as January. She believed that it was so important to come together for Thanksgiving that she wanted it to be on a certain date. And it flew around all over the place. Thanksgiving was never set in stone until she finally reached Abraham Lincoln 17 years later. 17 years. And he finally decreed it and said it. But you know, it didn't get locked down until the 60s when it became a national holiday. It was reserved for thanking the Lord for what He had given us. And it may seem silly. So many seem silly. 17 years, but because it mattered. You know, 4 years ago when I sat up here on an idea that I thought was going to be funny, you guys don't know. I'm going to give you the behind the scenes. I'm going to give you the Paul Harvey version. There were people in this church who said, I just don't think that you should hit the pastor in the face with a pie. Now, I like those people. And I asked them why. And they said, because you're a place of reverence. Have you met me? And there were people who didn't want to do it. I'll put a shoebox in, but I just can't hit you with a pie. That's wonderful. There was somebody in this church that could. And apparently, thanks a lot, Dad. Apparently, we're not playing that game again this year, girl. Why did I want to do it 4 years ago? 10 million children. 10 million. I read a bunch of statistics on Operation Christmas Child. I never heard of it till I got here. The first year I was here, we started talking about doing it. Linda came out and says, we're going to do the shoeboxes. For what? Operation Christmas Child. Never heard of it. Franklin Graham's a big thing. She championed it. She loved it. The first couple of years, it was pitiful. We would get 10, 11, maybe 12 boxes. Some of you remember that. And one day I happened to stumble on something where I was reading one of them Christmas Child stories. And I'm going to warn you right now. If you are bored, get on the tube, get on the internet, and just start looking up Christmas Child stories. And by the way, drink a lot of water, because you're going to cry. I don't cry at that. But it did touch me enough that 5 years ago, I said, if we reach this number, I'll shave. Was that the first time I shaved my beard off? I like shaving my beard off. It's a lot easier. I had threatened to do a haircut, but we're not going to play that game. 4 years ago, I said, I need to get this understood to somebody's psyche. I need to get it in your minds. We need to understand there are 10 million children out there who get nothing. And not all of them are in some faraway land. Some of them are a mile up the road. And do not know Jesus Christ. And yet we sit here in our fancy and our wealth, and we do this. And I said, we're going to do this. And if that's what it takes, hit me in the face with a pie. And I was surprised that Linda went, okay. I figured she'd go, now, Paul, I'm not sure that's right. Oh, boy, let me tell you what. She jumped on that with both feet. Yes, we'll do that. And her cohort, Peggy, said, I'll make the pie. Why? This article from Christmas Child of this past February this year. Because of the generosity of the donors across the United States, Operation Christmas Child, a project of Samaritan's Purse, collected more than 8.8 million shoeboxes. Packed with fun toys, school supplies, hygiene items, these gifts bring joys and the eternal hope to the gospel, to children around the world. Franklin Graham said, it's incredible to see the difference a simple shoebox gift can make in the life of a child. They bring the message of unconditional love and forgiveness found only in Jesus Christ. Franklin Graham, president of Samaritan's Purse, said, there's still nothing like seeing how one gift can impact the eternal destiny of a child. Combined with those who collected from partnering countries in 2018, the ministry is now sending more than 10.6 million shoebox gifts in more than 100 countries. But why? Why is this so suddenly important to me or us? Why a pie in the face? Why this sermon? Why today? Chris Smith reached out to me, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever it was, because of a sermon that he had heard online. When we started putting these things online, he reached out to me and said, I would very much like to know you. And him and I talked, and we became friends, and we suddenly realized that we both had fought the fight of drugs and alcohol. He had to go to jail because of it. I did not. He lost everything. I did. And we both found that that was how God turned us back to Him and told us, you're going to do what I tell you to do from now on or else. And I do. And I will. If you want to know why I get hit in the face with a pie, it's because God told me to. And I know that sounds silly, but it brings a reaction. Chris had a church and he lost it. 18 months, 19 months ago, I don't know. Maybe 2 years ago. Chris became lost back into the world of drugs and alcohol. And I didn't know it. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, watching through social media what was going on, saw that there has been some turmoil. Didn't really know why. Nudge, nudge, reach out to him. Nudge, nudge. Last Friday or Saturday, I guess it was, Chris overdosed on drugs and died. Because he was too ashamed to reach back out to me. Once again, my old demon came calling and reminded me, reach out. Put your own insecurities aside. Put your own comfort level aside. Do the reach out. People are looking for it. People want it. Get their attention. Why? Why the pie in the face? I'll tell you why the pie in the face. As for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins. Paul's writing it right out of the gate. Take Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 10. Underline it in the Bible, right next to it. Hit me with a pie, Lord. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He is saying, get moving. Do what you have to do. You were saved. You were dead. You were going to hell. Let's face it. That's where you're going. You got two choices. Or hell. There's no in between. There's no gray area. There's no be nice. There's no sugar coating. There's no candy frosting. It's very simple. When you die, you're going to heaven or hell. How are you going to get there? Are you going to buy your way into heaven? Because if that's possible, I'm selling everything. Children even. No! Do you do it by? Do you get to go there by doing good things? Let's say you got on a wild and crazy tear and put together a million shoe boxes with all that stuff that they were supposed to do. Is that your way into heaven? No. Jesus Christ, to get our attention, died for our sins. A little bit more than a pie in the face. And it continues to be something that's talked about. It continues to be something that drives us to remind ourselves, Paul is writing it. You were dead. You were part of the disobedient ways of this world. All of us also, verse 3, lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Objects of wrath means you're going to die and go to hell following sin. Change tone. Paul writes. The eloquence of his writings often gets missed. I don't pay attention to it. I just see the verse and it locks into my head and I'm go, go, go. Verse 4 changes. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive again with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ. Listen now, and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by the works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. Listen, for us to do. Thank you, Lynn. Glad you're awake. The rest of you, listen to Lynn. For us to
do.
Now I'm about to get smacked in the face with a pie, and this is what I get. Do. For us to
do.
Right. For us to do. And it's hard. What do I say to them? Don't matter. Hi. I love you. Hi. How you doing? Hi. Can I help you? Hi. Can I pray for you? That's how easy it really is. And believe it or not, somebody's going to hear it. How many of these stories have we heard? We watched that tearjerker there a couple weeks ago before we started the program about some girl who saw some guy's picture in a box because he put it in there because he wanted to be seen because he looked really good in his Wranglers and his boots and his cowboy hat. And she went, wow, look at that. And he's a Christian. Let me see if I can reach out to him. And they got married. What, 10, 15, 12 years later? That's crazy. Because he did the do. He put the pie in the face. He did what he was supposed to do. He reminded himself that I was dead in transgression, that I had sinned, and that I was commanded to get up and move and do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Could I have changed Chris's life by catching up to him? I know a lot more about that lifestyle than I'll ever let on. And I know where he was at, and I know. I know sometimes you cannot come back. But you have to try. You have to do it. You have to do whatever it takes. There is a movie out there. I don't know that I recommend watching it, but there is a scene in it. And it's called Scrooged, and probably some of you have seen it. It's a little rough language. It's a Christmas carol, put modern. I'm going to tell you why I take a pie to a face. It's so visceral that it gets such attention. Everybody loves it. You know you do. Who in the world ain't watched the Three Stooges smack each other with a pie? Say amen. And you laugh, right? And you think that's funny stuff right there, Jackie. Don't be sitting back there laughing like that. In the movie, after he is torn down, he stands in front of a movie camera and he recites this. He never married and his girlfriend is out there watching. He said, "It's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year we act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We cheer a little more. And for a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we'd be. It's a miracle. It's really short of a miracle. Because it happens every Christmas Eve. And if you waste that miracle, you're going to burn for it. I know what I'm talking about. You have to do something. You have to take a chance. You have to get involved. There are people out there that are having trouble making their miracles happen. There are people out there who don't have enough to eat. People that are cold. You could go out and say hello to these people. You could take an old blanket out of the closet and say, "Here." And make them a sandwich and say, "Oh, by the way, here. I get it now." And if you give, then it can happen. Then the miracle can happen to you. And it's not just the poor and hungry. It's everybody who's got to have this miracle. And it can happen tonight for all of you. If you believe in this spirit thing, the miracle will happen. And then you'll want it to happen again tomorrow. And you won't be one of these people who says, "Christmas is just once a year and it's a fraud." It's not. It can happen every day, and you're going to want that feeling. And if you like it and you want it, you'll be greedy for it. And you'll want it every day of your life, and it can happen to you. I believe in it now. I believe it's going to happen to me. And I'm ready for it. And it's great. And it's a good feeling. And it's really better than I felt in a long time. I'm ready. Merry Christmas, everybody. And the little kid steps forward and he looks at him. He says, "Did I forget something?" And in the movie, the kid can't talk. And he says, "God bless us, everyone." Okay. So then let's make it happen. These words from 1863. "It is the duty of nations, as well as Fed, to owe their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations who are blessed, whose God is Lord." We know that by His divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world. "May we not justly fear the awful calamity of civil war which now desolates the land. May be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven, which have been preserved those many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts all those blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. I sign this, Abraham A. Lincoln. Tragedy will always be there. Pain will always be there. Nothing will ever leave us for as long as we live here. But we're not the only ones that feel it. We're not the only ones that experience it. And there are many, many, many who do. My question to you is, would you take the pie in the face to get it out there? This week, find someone. Pray for them. Reach out to someone from the past, a connection that has fallen off. Lift them up. Maybe it's right across the supper table. Maybe it's the next house over. We only have but so much time. And the God who has taken us away from our death of transgressions and sins through Jesus Christ, where we have professed our belief, is the same God of those who continue to dwell in the world of destruction and be objects of wrath. I say to you, be prepared, brothers. Be prepared, sisters, to take a pie in the face, if that's what need be done to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for so many things, Father, but we ask that you lift us all up and put us out to work, reminding us of the things we need do and will do in your name and your grace. Give us the opportunity, give us the chance, give us the guidance, and lead us on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.